Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, the global economy, they can look the same from 20,000 feet. And I call upon Liz Peek of The Hill, a columnist, of Fox News, a columnist, to talk about both at the same time in terms of the banks. The banks. We learn from Once Upon a Time that bank runs, bank panics don't end all of a sudden. I've been reading about the panic of 1907. Before there was a Federal Reserve or a European Central Bank or the idea of central banking at all, there was Pierpont, J. Pierpont Morgan. And he organized over several weeks a rescue of various companies that were failing. Sound familiar? Well, we don't have a Pierpont Morgan today. We have the ECB. We have the Federal Reserve. We have the U.S. Treasury, and certainly each country in the European Union has their own finance ministers. But you're never sure if a banking crisis has ended. Liz, a very good day to you. I read the headlines from Bloomberg this morning that UBS, the great, masterful UBS, is watching very well-to-do clients leave or recommend that they want to be cautious about their money. This following the failure of Credit Suisse some weeks past, having to do with internal problems, bad decisions, long-standing. That, however, is a global bank story in Europe. We come over here in America, and we've seen the failure of SVB and Signature. But now the headlines are that First Republic, a bank for the very well-to-do, as such as the well-to-do in UBS, is watched $100 billion leave the bank in these last weeks. So I put these anecdotes on the table and I say, is the banking crisis over? Are we in the eye of the storm? Good evening to you, Liz.
Well, good evening, John. I think it is in the eye of the beholder a little bit. And I think what you saw at First Republic is that the people who had parked their money there, we're not sure it is over. And yesterday, a bank executive, Standard Charter, made headlines by saying, yeah, we're going to get through this, but it's not over, because the same conditions that led to the failure of Silicon Valley Bank, that is to say, interest rates being jacked higher and higher, and the value of their long-term assets on their balance sheet going lower and lower, just as deposits are fleeing out the door, that's still going on. And I think as we approach yet another Fed meeting, with everyone attentive to what does the Fed think of the economy, what are they going to do, they will probably raise rates. The betting is they're going to raise rates another 25 basis points. But you got to say that just exacerbates the situation, right? It just exacerbates the losses on long-term bonds and other assets that these banks are holding. Look, I think what we're going to continue to see is strong banks get stronger and weak banks get weaker, which is kind of what happens whenever you have one of these bank failures or runs on a bank. But the other probably more important outcome to you and me and to people looking at the economy overall is that there's no doubt that credit has been tightened. Banks are pulling up the drawbridges and they're saying, we want to protect our assets, we want to protect our balance sheets, and they're becoming much sterner about to whom they're lending money. And I think, as the Fed tries to haul in the money supply and is doing so actually at a very drastic rate right now, this is another element of that. And that's why when we spoke last week, I didn't think the Fed would hike rates again. I think at some point they really need to pause and let the private markets do the work that they are now and I guess apparently going to do by further rate hikes. They can wait. They can have this credit tightening take hold. Janet Yellen, when asked about the credit tightening going on, said, well, she wasn't sure how effective that was or how much it was, something like that. I think the word on the street is it's pretty effective, and companies are finding it harder and harder to raise money, and that has an absolute definite impact on building, on investment, on expansion, et cetera. So I think the Fed should stop here and sort of take a look at what's going on in the economy.
There looks to be good news within these hours, Liz, because Moody's has raised, according to the Wall Street Journal, Dow Jones Newswire, raised U.S. European GDP growth outlook for this year from slight 0 to 1% growth to 0.5 to 1.5% growth for the U.S., which is not a recession. I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, what's different from 1907 is that there is a Federal Reserve. In 1907, there was a liquidity crisis. They didn't have enough cash to cover the withdrawals from the banks and the trust companies in New York, and that led to a cascade of problems with brokers and with the stock market. We have a different story today. We care about price stability, inflation, and Moody's is not promising there. Outlook for U.S. inflation remains unchanged, but euro area inflation of about 6% is expected in large economies compared with prior guidance. So what we're looking at is, despite all of these raises over the last year in Europe and in the U.S., Moody's is saying for the balance of this year, inflation will remain high or unacceptably high given the target is 2%. That translates into the Federal Reserve not pausing, doesn't it, Liz? Not pausing, as opposed to the idea that 10 and done. I hear that often on the street.
Yeah. Well, yes and no. I mean, again, it turns out that there are some risks to all these rate hikes, and we've seen that show up in the banking sector. So right now, there are an awful lot of aspects of inflation that appear to be getting better. And I think, again, if I were the Fed, I might want to pause and see if the trends that are underway in terms of things like wage increases slowing down, rents apparently are sort of rolling over, and now the rate increases on rents, which have been astonishingly high, and as you know, a very big factor in the CPI number, those are beginning to come down. Commodities prices are coming down. There's a lot of indications that inflation is moderating. So my contention has been for some time, yes, it's moderating. It's going to get down to 3.5-4% and then stay there. I think that is what's true. But the question is, does the Fed really want to risk throwing the U.S. into a pretty solid recession in order to drive inflation even lower? And my guess is no, they don't want to do that.
The markets, Liz, are watching the Federal Reserve's remarks or not remarks, waiting for the next meeting in early May. At the same time, they're paying attention to the world affairs having to do with energy, having to do with the future, having to do with the plans of European countries and the American country to change the way we get energy. Now, I don't see it yet reflected in all the market conditions. They haven't in any fashion said that the oil companies, the energy companies are out of date. But there is a suggestion that we're moving into a landscape over the next 10 to 15 years where investors are going to have to figure out how to play the major benefactors of these last years of energy prices. After all, it was true for the last 20 years that the growth in the U.S., I believe I'm generalizing, Liz, was driven by us becoming an energy superpower. In the next 10 to 15 years, the plans are that that's going to change. Have I read that correctly?
Well, yes. The most generous thing that can be said about our fossil fuel industry by the Biden administration is it is a bridge fuel, and it's only going to be tolerated, in a sense, until we are fully electrified, until we're fully reliant on renewable energy for our electrification. But that really is a long way in the future, John. I mean, with all the excitement about investing in renewable fuels and so forth, it's still obviously a very, very small percentage of our overall energy mix, and that's true not only in the U.S., and it's also true globally. So, you know, I think that the headlong acceleration of the push for EVs and the push for renewable fuel is going too fast. I think it threatens our growth overall. The Biden administration is convinced that they're going to create enormous numbers of jobs this way. But we all know that most of the products from contribute to the transition to renewable energy come from China today. And in fact, I was just reading earlier a White House statement about how they're going to continue to suspend tariffs on solar panels because we need solar panels to go solar, and they're going to build factories so that once we're there, we can supply our own products. Well, I mean, that's a head scratcher if I ever heard one. Are we going to be importing everything we need from China continually to fund the, to supply what we need to go green? I don't know. But, you know, we have on the one hand a very aggressive industrial policy that is getting accolades from the likes of the Financial Times and so forth for laying out a plan to build out our renewable fuels, our renewable energy infrastructure domestically, but yet we're not really there yet. So I wish I had more confidence that all this was being done with care and thoughtful strategic planning. I don't think it is. For example, one of the things that Republicans and Democrat Joe Manchin wanted to have in the Inflation Reduction Act, which of course spends $700 billion basically going green, is a permitting overhaul. And yes, some of that permitting improvement would involve fossil fuel development, being able to open new gas pipelines or mines or whatever. But the reality is, without permitting approval and acceleration, we're not going to go anywhere on this green energy push, because you can't build out a solar field and get it hooked up to a transmission line without about 10 years of wrangling over permits and allowances. So I think this is more about pleasing climate enthused voters than it is really about making a sensible commitment to reducing our carbon emissions. I think most Americans are on board with that, but they're not going to be on board with it, John, when our electricity prices double, which could well happen. And that in and of itself, to your point, is a real negative for our long-term economy. We've had bounteous fossil fuels, oil and natural gas, which in the case of natural gas has also driven our emissions lower, but it has meant very cheap energy for our industry. That, I think, is going to change.
Liz Peek of The Hill, a columnist of Fox News, a columnist much on Fox Business. We turn to election news next. The American people vote their pocketbook. Who do they vote for? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.